Dear listeners of Radio Maria Canada, welcome to our program, The Power of the Rosary, from Toronto and hosted by Reno. It's a program where we share the good news of praying the Holy Rosary when we invite Mary, our Heavenly Mother, and recite her favorite prayer. She promises her protection, guidance, and solutions to the problems that plague our lives. Let's pay attention to the joyful news of help and comfort. Welcome.
Ave Regina della pace, Ave Madre dell'amor. Ave Regina della pace, Ave Madre dell'amor. Ave.
Good morning, and welcome to all our dear Radio Maria listeners. Today we will continue with the theme on the power of the Holy Rosary. In the last episode, we paused and considered on how to recite the Rosary well. We recall that St. Louis de Montfort told us that whoever recites the Rosary must be in the grace of God, or at least resolved to get out of the state of guilt, because theology teaches that good works and prayers done in mortal sin are dead works, not pleasing to God, and without any merit to eternal life. Then he advises us that the most important quality in reciting the Rosary is with faith and humility, and if it's possible to recite the Rosary in the company with others, because it becomes much more fearful for the devil to fight and overcome. In fact, the devil easily triumphs over the prayer of the individual, but when the prayer is done with others, it becomes more difficult to fight and overcome.
St. Louis explains that it is easy to break a single cane, but if it is joined to several others in a bundle, it does not easily break anymore. As the proverb teaches, unity makes strength. So, dear listener, it is always advantageous and good to pray the Rosary, but when it is prayed with others, it becomes sweeter and the harvest is much more abundant. Today we will continue on this theme, but draw on various experiences made by well-known exorcists on the power of the Rosary in waging their fight against evil. Today, we want to introduce the well-known exorcist Father Francesco Bamonte, who has written extensively on the topic. And then he also airs on Radio Maria with the program, Father, Free Us from the Evil One. This program runs every second Saturday of each month at 9 p.m. Father Bamonte is a priest belonging to the religious order Servants of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. He was ordained priest on the 8th of September, 1990, and from the earliest days of his vocation, he has dedicated himself to helping people who have fallen victim to black magic and have been damaged by the occult practices of various forms. He has been an exorcist since the year 2000 and is a member and president of the International Association of Exorcists, which is based in Rome.
Father Bamonte says that in his experience as an exorcist, he has realized that there is no extra liturgical prayer that is so hated and feared by the evil one as the Holy Rosary, and that Our Lady has a very special role in the mystery of liberation of these oppressed souls. So often at the command of the exorcist, the evil one has had to make many testimonies with respect to the power of Mary and her rosary. In fact, one day, while Father Bamonte was taking hold of the rosary, the devil exclaimed, "It's something I cannot stand. I can't stand it." That stupid old man, referring to St. Padre Pio, called it well. He had given it the right name. He called it the weapon, because it is a real weapon. A real weapon against us and makes us suffer very much. One day, Father Bamonte compelled the devil to describe the wonders of the rosary, and the devil replied, "For me it is disgusting." But when Father Bamonte insisted on describing the wonders of the rosary, then the devil said, "Every bead of that rosary is a tear of that woman," meaning Our Lady, "who suffered all the 3 years that he, Jesus, suffered for you."
He evangelized, he healed, he manifested himself. He did everything in those 3 years, including what he did in those other mysteries that the Pope consecrated before this. Referring to the luminous mysteries that Pope John Paul II added to the mysteries of the Rosary in 2002, when you pray that accursed crown, everything hurts us because you contemplate everything he does against us, everything. In those 3 years, he fought exclusively to harm us and to keep souls away from us, because it wasn't possible before, but only after his coming, especially after his revelation. Those 3 years that you contemplate in the mysteries of the Rosary, you kill us because we relive the events of his earthly life, especially if you offer them and relive them in your sufferings.
If you meditate on the mysteries of this weapon, and unite your suffering to those of them, meaning Jesus and Mary, and then unite them also with all the other victim souls that he, Jesus, has chosen, then you do intolerable harm to us. In another exorcism, the evil one repeated again, "When you say the Hail Marys, it is as if she takes hold of your spirit and brings it before the Father every time, because she loves you as no one loves you, and takes you up there with her, where she is." When you remember and meditate on the individual mysteries of the Rosary, for me, it is an excruciating torture, because it reminds us of all the moments and times of his earthly life, especially because when you finish your Rosary, another one starts somewhere else. You end one Rosary here, and another Rosary starts somewhere else. There is always someone who is reciting it, and there is never one moment in which it is not being prayed.
It is an interrupted chant from all over the world, and for us, it's a deadly setting. For all those mysteries, it reminds us of everything that he, meaning Jesus, did, and it hurts us. It hurts us very, very much. It was October 7th. The Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, and I pulled the rosary from my pocket for an exorcism, and the devil said, "You hurt me with those beads. You give me many blows, and it's very oppressive. She," meaning Our Lady, "whips us with that chain." Father Bamonte explains to us that the rosary, recited well, wears down the devil in such a way that he cannot do all the evil that he would like to do, because Our Lady, precisely through the rosary, makes us grow in faith in God and protects us from the snares of the enemy. This helps us to understand in a concrete way the power of the rosary and why and how much the devil fears it.
Once, during an exorcism, while putting the rosary crown around the neck of the possessed person, the devil immediately shouted, "You want to kill me? You are a murderer. Those beads are worse than the thorns of Christ's crown. They are a living fire." Each pearl is a consecrated heart, and it kills us, takes our breath away. It suffocates me, and for us, it's certain death. At another time, while putting the rosary around the neck of a possessed person, the devil immediately shouted, "Remove those roses. They reek. Those roses stink." There are many other expressions that the devil has used in describing the rosary while performing exorcism, where he has also said that every bead of that crown which you pray is a scourge for us. It burns us. When you use that cursed chain, it hurts us because you invoke that Hail Mary and you remind me of his life, meaning Jesus, and the contemplation of the gospel through the rosary is a torment for us and it makes us lose power and become weak.
The devil continues, "Whoever clings to this rosary chain will never be lost. When you contemplate the mysteries of that crown, I'm bludgeoned and flogged. It tears away many, many souls. Because the rosary is his and hers," referring to Jesus and the Blessed Virgin. "I loathe the rosary because it's a crown of love that unites everyone to both him and her. Finally, if you all knew of this power, I would be destroyed in less than a second." Then he continues, "If everyone would recite the rosary with faith, I would certainly be destroyed. You know what happens when you recite this chain? She takes your hand and reaches towards the sky and takes you to God with this chain. This prayer brings your hands and hearts together so close as to become one."
When the two hands meet, she rejoices immensely. She rejoices so much that indeed she kneels and prays with you. In reality, only a few faithful can actually reach this sublime plateau, thanks to me, who am their God, and prevents this by tearing them away, by reminding them of the momentary pleasures and wants that they are attached to, and then they refuse to do it. But for those who succeed and are fully aware, she then rejoices and kneels and kisses the pierced feet of her son, granting graces to some person. When that happens, all heaven rejoices. It is disgusting, disgusting. And many tears of joy are shed. This is disgusting, totally disgusting.
This is the testimony taken from the world of Father Francesco Bamonte, an active exorcist in Rome and who recounts various experiences while practicing his religious calling as an exorcist. Actually, they are not different and dissimilar to stories told by other exorcists such as Father Gabriel Amorth, Father Candido, and Father Matteo Lagrua, and many other exorcists. These are the words spoken by the evil one, the devil, under the command of the exorcist and compelled by the Holy Virgin. The demons are obliged to attest to the extraordinary dignity and power that she wields among all human and angelic creatures and to confess all the truth about her and their complete impotence towards her and to their great disgust. Through the demons, we imagine the power of Mary over them and which she uses to continually intercede for our good and for our salvation. The holiness and splendor of Mary places her so high among all human and angelic creatures that demons are forced to praise her for the greatness, for her power, and the divine radiance that shines in her.
Let us remember that after the original sin, God turned to the serpent, which is Satan, cursed him, and added a promise. He said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your lineage and her lineage. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." This is the announcement of a rematch between the serpent and the woman, which would eventually take place at another time in the future. Through the lineage of the woman, God himself would conquer, and that woman was revealed as the Virgin Mary, from whom the Redeemer was to be born. And because of this, there are countless paintings and statues of the Immaculate Virgin in the act of crushing that accursed snake under her foot. Pope Francis also warns us when he says, "Be careful, we are not fighting with human powers, but against the power of darkness," as he did with Jesus.
Satan will try to seduce us,
to lose you, to offer us viable alternatives. We cannot afford the luxury of being gullible or sufficient. It is true that we have to dialogue with the whole world, but we cannot dialogue with temptation.
These are the words from Pope Francis. So let us turn with great confidence to the maternal intercession of Mary, and in particular to use her favorite prayer, the Rosary, in order to cooperate as much as possible with her in the fight against the evil one and his rebel angels for the triumph of the kingdom of God and for our salvation. Now we'll take a short break, and then we will read some stories bearing witness to the power of the Holy Rosary.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer, let it be.
Welcome back. We will now hear two stories that leads us to learn more about the power of the Rosary to protect and help us to solve the problems we encounter in our lives. While we tell these stories, we invite our listeners to prepare a testimony on the power of the rosary that have touched their life and who want to share it with other listeners to mail it either by regular mail or electronic mail to Radio Maria Canada in Toronto. Please include Power of the Rosary as part of the address, and we will read them in one of our next episodes. We remind you that the reason in sharing these personal stories is to increase our faith and to pray the rosary more frequently and even daily. The first testimony describes the challenges of a pregnant woman that, due to her age and family situation, was advised by medical experts to have an abortion. We hear her story as told by the husband.
In 2005, I was 48 years old and my wife, Angela, was 42. The family consisted of my son, Gianluca, 16, and Christina, 10 years old. After Christina, the youngest of our children, was born, we decided that we would have no other children. But now, 10 years later, since the last child was born, my wife was pregnant. In addition to the material difficulties, it also well known that at the age of 42, pregnancies are always risky for both the baby and for the mother. There were also psychological barriers to overcome. In fact, a difficult family situation and the presence of a myoma of 2 centimeters in diameter was found in the amniotic fluid, which was detected by ultrasound and complicated the issue. We immediately decided for a consultation with a gynecologist for a professional opinion on how to deal with this situation as a family. The meeting was not very helpful at all, and very disappointing at best. With several rationally valid medical arguments, my wife was advised to have an abortion. There seemed no way out of the situation. Without the abortion, it could result in severe health problems for the mother, which included the possibility of death, and then there would be problems with the child, which would be born with both physical and mental abnormalities. Under these stressful circumstances and a broken heart, the following Sunday we went to morning mass as usual at our local church of St. Anthony, who was also our patron saint. The sad picture was that with many rationally valid medical arguments and advice given, we were reluctantly ready to follow the advice for an abortion.
At the moment of communion, I lined up with my heart in my hand, and I asked the Lord to free us from the situation and bring about a better solution. As I got nearer to the altar, while looking to my left, I saw a poster of St. John Paul II with the words, "Do not be afraid," underneath. I felt a strange feeling, almost as if it was communicating some message to us. After taking Holy Communion, I went back to my seat with the conviction that the message from the Pope was specifically addressed to us and that we didn't have to be afraid because everything would turn out fine. After Mass, both my wife and I went to talk to the priest, Father Teofilo, about our circumstances and the medical findings, especially because the next day, Monday morning, the abortion was scheduled to take place. He told us with great insistence to consult other gynecologists and also to keep him informed.
The next morning, which was Monday, before going to the abortion clinic, we hastily decided to consult another gynecologist that we found in the phone book at the very last moment. He was very accommodating and saw us immediately. He looked at all the medical files and the ultrasounds and said, "So, I don't understand. What is the problem? Do you want to have this baby or not?" We told him that what had been proposed to us at the clinic, but he replied,
"There is no problem with the myoma. I have delivered babies to women with a myoma as big as an orange, of much older age than you.
And I also want to tell you that I am not a conscientious objector in the sense that I have no reason to tell you something that is not true. We thank them for the consultation and availability. In my heart, I thank Jesus and Mary because I clearly saw their merciful intervention. We returned the same morning to the Church of St. Anthony to Father Teofilo, and we told him everything that had happened. He closely followed our situation in the following months, encouraging my wife to carry on with the pregnancy and telling her that God would never abandon her.
It happened just like that. Angela continued the pregnancy without any problem. This help also manifested itself during childbirth, which was quick and painless against all expectations. Baby Danielle was born and now is 8 years old. He is a very lively, intelligent, and healthy child. God be blessed. Blessed be his holy name, because he is good. His mercy is eternal. We give praise to God and thank our dear Heavenly Mother, who always keeps us close under her gaze, especially to those who honor her by praying the rosary. The second example of the power of the rosary is a recent event, as reported by America Needs Fatima, and is told by a young American who survived the 9/11 terrorist attack in New York City.
The survivor tells his story.
My name is John, and thanks to Mother Mary, I'm a survivor of the 9/11 horror of September 11, 2001. I was busy working in the North Tower of the World Trade Center in New York City with radical Muslim terrorists crashed a passenger plane into the Northern Twin Tower. Shortly thereafter, a second plane collided with the Southern Twin Tower with the terrible explosions. Thousands of fellow Americans died at this time, and I was right there, similarly involved, and as a first-hand witness. Their lives extinguished at the whim of a madman. Without the protection of Our Lady, my life would have ended at that moment, like countless others. How sad. But let me share what happened just a few months before the 9/11 nightmare. I was 32 years old, born and raised in Manhattan, New York. I had worked all my life for the economic position in which I found myself in. I was an investment agent with full control of a multi-million dollar portfolio and with corresponding powers in the company that I worked for. But alas, something was missing in my life, and I found myself pretty unhappy.
In fact, for several years, I had distanced myself from God and was not practicing my Catholic faith that I had grown up with. As a child, I had received a Catholic education, and my parents were and still are devotees. But unfortunately, I had fallen into the mundane of life many years ago. That June 18th of 2001, a colleague invited me to his home for a visit of the statue of Our Lady of Fatima, brought by the lay religious group America Needs Fatima, that circulates the statue of the Madonna Fatima from house to house and then reciting the rosary. I was living a difficult time in my life and going through a personal crisis, so I seriously considered the invitation. Then, remembering the comfort that the family prayer had given me when I was little, I gladly accepted to participate in the event. During the visit, the caretaker of the religious group gave me a set of rosary beads. The following weeks of that Fatima visit, the event remained always vivid and present in my mind. So I kept the rosary chain always in my pocket and often prayed it on my way to work.
The morning of September 11 in 2001, I left the house for work, as usual. I forgot the rosary chain at home. I had walked 3 blocks down the street before I noticed that they were missing from my pocket. I immediately missed having them, and something made me turn around, and I walked back about 5 minutes to go home and get them. I'm convinced that that decision saved my life that very sad day. In fact, immediately after arriving at work at 8:46 a.m., we heard the first
hijacked plane crash into the 93 to 99 floors of the North Tower of the World Trade Center. My colleague and I felt the tremors and watched in horror as the upper floors of the Northern Tower exploded into flames of fire and the sky turned black, with ashes sprinkling everywhere. A few minutes later, in full confusion and fear, I ran out of my office to escape from the horror. The elevators were all blocked, so I turned to the stairs to escape. Coming down in full fury, I reached halfway down the tower, but encountered a locked fire door. I was trapped. Without knowing what to do, I kept listening to the screams of the burning people locked inside the building.
Above me, flames. Below me, a barred door, blocking my escape. I no longer had any chance of escape. My mind was running fast, but against all odds, my mind was unusually clear. Instead of panic, I felt a strange calm. My hand went straight into my pocket and I pulled out the rosary. I was alone. I knelt down and began to pray the rosary. Hail Mary, full of grace. Our Father, who art in heaven, glory be to the Father, and so on and so on. How I stayed so calm, so focused, when all around me were screams, despair, and death, the truth is, I don't know. I have no idea. Those few minutes, then, for me had become as long as an eternity. In that brief time, in those few moments, firefighters arrived and broke down the locked doors that had prevented my escape and freed me. Despite all the odds against me, despite the fire, despite the smoke and terrorist attacks, I walked down the stairs to safety and freedom.
The following days, I was overwhelmed and confused and kept asking myself why I had been kept safe. Why? Why me?
While many thousands died.
The only conclusion I arrived at is this. The Heavenly Mother had protected me because of her rosary. Today, the whole world is in serious trouble. And like the terrified young man, the world needs to be protected and saved by having recourse to the praying of the rosary. We need those saving graces that only Our Lady can grant, because she is the one full of grace. We need to feel the power and protection of Mary. When we pray the rosary, it is as she covers us with her mantle and protects us, just like when I knelt in prayer beside the locked fire doors in the burning North Tower of the World Trade Center.
When Our Lady of Fatima said, "Pray the rosary," she knew that this is the solution to these difficult times and to the problems of the modern world. Thanks to the rosary, I'm still alive today to tell this story, and I urge everyone to pray it for healing and protection for our loved ones and for the world. Let me testify again that it was Our Lady and her rosary that saved me from this great disaster when 2,977 people died. So we encourage you to pray the Holy Rosary with others, but if not possible, to pray it alone. We remember that at an opportune time, Mother Mary, through the rosary, will give us the victory to our pains and sufferings. This is a promise our Mother made us because she loves us.
The time is running short, so we greet and thank all our dear listeners for taking part in this program. I remind you to arrange testimonial stories of the power of the rosary and send them via mail, regular or electronic, to Radio Maria Canada, and we will then share them with our listeners on future broadcasts. Address them with the power of the rosary. We encourage our listeners to pray the Holy Rosary either in groups or alone, reminding of the victory that has been promised to us at a proper time. This is a promise we cannot dispute because it has been promised by our dear Mother. We would like to acknowledge the contributors for this episode, which are America Needs Fatima and Pregi Online, found on the internet. The time at our disposal has ended. Reno and Teresa from Radio Maria Canada wish you a good day.
We ask God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, with Mother Mary to bless us and keep us safe, now and always.
Ciao, ciao. We thank our dear listeners of Radio Maria Canada for having welcomed us into their homes. Let's make an appointment for next week at the same time when we continue with the power of the Rosary. Ciao. Della pace, Ave Madre dell'amor, Ave Regina della pace.